When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Welcome to episode 184 of the Unholy Trinity Podcast, brought to you in association with Sports Social, the UK's only dedicated sports podcast network, and also Fanatics. Unusual for us, never really record quickly after a match. There's a reason for that, and I wish today we weren't recording quite quickly after that, what we just witnessed at Villa Park. Obviously, we all know by now, Everton lost the game by 4-0. It couldn't have gone much worse. Scoreline, obviously, haven't scored again. Calvert-Lewin injured. It will be injured. And, you know, there was nothing, not much in it in a rather toothless performance. We're going to dive into that, of course. But joining us today, one of our old regulars, really, being with us from pretty much from the off, on and off, and that's Callum Wyatt. Callum, I could say how are you, but a bit of a waste of time asking that kind of question, isn't it?
Yeah, another weekend ruin, of course.
Luckily, it was a Sunday. So you've had a decent Saturday and just afternoon on a Sunday.
You can have from Monday to Friday next week, doesn't it, really?
I know. Before we go again against Wolves, but I'll come to you first, Callum. Obviously, I tried to summarise as best I could there, but today couldn't have really gone, you know, much more worse than it did for Everton. Could have, given obviously the scoreline, given what we've got in terms of injuries now to two key players. Obviously, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, his first game of the season. We were all excited to see him lead the line, of course. And within 10 minutes, he looks like potentially he's fractured his cheekbone there. But today, on the whole, given the defensive mistakes yet again, it was a rather poor showing from what should have been, I think, a much more resilient Everton side.
Yeah, I think, you know, on paper, you're not really expecting to get much from Villa. But obviously after our game last week, it was just a sloppy start and getting beat to Fulham. We needed to really go there, and even if we did get beat, just give, you know, a convincing performance. And yet again, we've come away with no goals scored, conceding four. It could have probably been 5 or 6 really to Villa. You know, Pickford made a great save from the RB as well. But yeah, it's just, again, back to the drawing board. And, you know, again, two games in, no goals scored, 6 goals conceded. No points. So it's just, you know, is it going to be another one of them seasons again where we're struggling to get to 40 points and we're relying on the last 2 or 3 games? You know, we can't have another season like this. And I think a lot of teams have got stronger now as well. It's like, where are Everton's points going to come from this season? Even the likes of Forest, who struggled last season, I think they're going to be sound this season. I think Burnley, you know, had some tough games. I think they're going to be hard to beat. So, you know, we need to get in shape. We need to do it quick. We need to do it fast. But it's another disappointing performance today.
I think that's a concern, isn't it? That's the fear. You know, when Everton don't start the season well, given what we've had over the last couple of years, we haven't scored a goal. We've shipped 5 already in 2 games. And bear in mind, when we discussed...
Five, sorry.
It's okay. Listen, it's easy to miscount, even at this early stage of the season. But even, you know, we look back at last week and we spoke on the podcast and we took positives from the Fulham game. We were the much better side. On another day, we scored 2 or 3 quite comfortably. Yeah. We come away with 3 points. And then today, you know, if you lose that game, even if you lose that game 4-0, with 3 points on the board,
yeah,
it's not as catastrophic as it actually seems, you know, quite quickly after the game today. But that's what the last two years have done to us as supporters, really, isn't it? Every time we have a situation where we lose a couple of games, just even if it's early season, things haven't settled down yet, the transfer window is still open, we always catastrophize, don't we?
Yeah, 100%. And I think with the transfer window so close to, you know, to closing, everyone's on the road getting forward players in, and speak of Che Adams going through. You've got Dan Juma, who I thought done really well today. I thought he was a bright spark. Bit similar to Demarai Gray, direct, wants to go with players, but probably works harder off the ball, really, when you lose the ball. But for me, defensively, we're shocking. We're shocking. I think you look at today's game, I think Peter would agree as well. Every time Villa attacked, you thought, bloody hell, they're going to score yet. They had so much pace. You know, there was times there, it was like 1v1 against Keane, where Watkins was running at him. Patterson doesn't seem up to speed. You know, and I don't know how Godfrey and Brantwaite aren't getting in that team, to be honest. Like, what's happened to Godfrey? You know, like, I know he had that injury, but he just seems like he's never going to play again for Everton. For me, Ashley Young shouldn't be playing left back. He should be further up the pitch. I think he's too dangerous in terms of his quality of delivery. I know it was a pre-season game, but he scored against Wigan and he looked a threat from wide areas and getting forward. But at left back, I think it's an absolute waste of time. But I would be concerned if we didn't get in a centre-back or a full-back in this window, because we can't go a full season with Keane and Tarkowski at the back.
Can't do it. No, we've had the conversation throughout pre-season and said how important we feel that the centre-back position actually is, you know, in terms of strengthening there, given the fact that we let Yerimina go, understandably, by the way, in terms of his injury record, as good as he was. Connor Cody, obviously, we didn't get that deal done on a permanent basis. And we bring Jared Branthwaite back, who we feel, after a decent season at PSV, might have got the nod, and it hasn't happened. Michael Keane has been brought back in from the cold after Sean Dyche dropped him, and he started the first few games of the season. And as we're going to discuss now, by the way, not all on Michael Keane, before we you know, people start thinking we're singling players out. No. There was a lot of mistakes there today, and it wasn't just Michael Keane. But Pete, not long before the end of the game, he said to me and Lee, I'm done. Horrendous. That was what Pete's initial reaction as we were talking about the game, as it was going on. It's a tough pill to swallow, isn't it, at the moment with Everton, given the fact that we all, well, probably not all, but I know we felt as a collective that there's still a lot of work to do in the transfer market, even at this particular point. But having a pre-season under Sean Dyche, we've come in better equipped, even with the players I think that we've got. We're becoming better equipped as a squad from a physical perspective. You said last week how fit you thought we looked against Fulham. And we'd be better equipped to deal with other sides. These kind of sides especially would be dogged, would be determined. And you look at that today, and like I said, there's been mistakes, of course, defensively. But yet again, Everton found themselves wanting both defensively, from what I would probably argue a pride perspective, a mentality perspective, and I hate discussing mentality, but here we are again. There were so many negatives on show there today, wasn't it, that it's difficult to sort of raise your spirits and think, okay, well, Wolves next weekend, surely we can get 3 points there.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? It's the result is harrowing, because I think I sent you that message at 3-0. So I was done with the game by then, but continue to watch it out of the need of getting through so we could talk about it on the podcast. But at least against Fulham, there were big, you know, big positives that could be taken from the performance, and arguably we should have won the game. Today we were horrific. You know, it was a throwback to some of the worst Everton performances of the kind of past 18 months. And you hate to see that. You hate to see us completely inept. It's horrible to watch your team playing a game of football that you know you have no hope in, and you kind of sat there wondering, like, you know, how many goals are we going to, you know, let in? How bad is it going to get? Who else is going to get injured? Who's going to get sent off? You know, all of that stuff starts going around your head, and you know you're right about Michael Keane. He's not solely responsible for you know, for the result. But I say what I'm about to say without any hint of irony or humour. I genuinely mean what I'm about to say. When Calvert-Lewin went off, he would have been better putting Michael Keane centre forward and bringing Branthwaite or Godfrey off. But I, you know, people think I'm being funny. I'm really not. He can hold the ball up. He's good in the air. you know, and he can pop up with a goal or two when he takes it first time. I genuinely think it would have given us more to the game. We'll come on to it when we talk about Wolves, I'm sure. But I think we're going to find out a lot about Sean Dyche over the next two or three games, because he's looking at the same football that Everton fans are seeing, and you have to respond to what you've seen against Aston Villa. Like Callum said, there were some small positives. You know, Dan Juma, I thought, did exceptionally well when he came on. I thought he really affected the game. He looked dangerous, and I think the problem was we no longer had the personnel on the pitch to kind of benefit from his positive play. And I also thought Dobbin looked really bright, really aggressive, really fresh. The two of them just seemed like levels above when they came on. So I'm hoping that, you know, fitness dependent, they might have staked a claim for a start against Wolves, because we have to be able to change it up, and his hands might be forced a little bit depending on what's happened with Iwobi. But it was just insipid throughout the team. It was far too easy for them to run at us, and we were agents of our own demise as usual. And I think that's the thing that will really annoy most fans. It wasn't that we got turned over by an outstanding football side. We gave them a game. It was another one of those where we were just poor, and it's as black and white as that. We got a bit unlucky with a couple of injuries, but injuries aside, we were poor. We were poor across the pitch in every area. We were not good enough. And we made big mistakes, big mistakes. And I think that's what gets fans worried. You know, it's one thing being completely outclassed by, you know, Manchester City at the height of form. Yes, Villa are a good team, but they shouldn't be beating us 4-0, and they shouldn't be beating us in the way they beat us today.
I agree. And again, going back to last week, we said to ignore the fact that Villa had lost to a good Newcastle side by 5-1. I think it was Alex Ferguson had said in the week that he was most impressed by Aston Villa of all teams last weekend in terms of how they played. And he said that might be a surprise, but he said in terms of what he saw. And we know that, you know, they've bought well. They're a quality side. We said they've got pace, they've got power. They'll cause us massive problems. And what was strange to me is that we didn't set up in a manner. You know, we always compare to that Brighton game last season away from home, of course. Went to a side, they were by far superior. And we said to them, go on, have the ball. We won't even sign and entertain taking the ball off your centre-halves and sign to sort of interact with them. We'll keep our shape. And it was perfect. Whereas today, there was holes everywhere. It was almost as if Everton were trying to press at the wrong time in the wrong areas. And when we were doing that, that was leaving gaps where players had vacated. But you know, going through the goals, that first goal, you know, how many things have gone wrong there in terms of it's on our left, there, right. They've got to be able to get to the byline to pull the ball across. James Garner's left his man in John McGinn. It was all just too easy, wasn't it, Callum? And once that happened, you know, was it 18 minutes in? That just spelled disaster, gay, didn't it?
Yeah, it was a poor goal to concede. And you said before about getting the press on and stuff. And for me, it just, Everton obviously set up really compact. That's what the sound was. And it was like, okay, well, when it goes, you can have it and you obviously can play into wide areas. The problem was when they went to wide areas and went to Luca Dean, one, he had too much time. And then secondly was, if he didn't have too much time, the centre-backs were always free to play it back to. And he just kept circulating the ball from left to right. And he'd do that three or four times. And we weren't locking on to make them go back. It was just like, okay, let them circulate. And then by that time, you've moved across three or four times. They're going to find gaps if you're not sliding across quick enough. And that's exactly what happened. And obviously, I think that they'd gone and gone for a slide tackle. And this was like bounced up horrible. And you got away. And Iwobi was caught a little bit high. It's gone in behind. And obviously, then Bailey with, you know, bit of a drop of the shoulder. Does Ashley Young, again, for me, should be playing left back anyway. But he has to, because Michalenko's no good. And gets done. And they get the goal. But again, you know, Bailey saving his best game for against us. You know, done it last time. You know, he's just absolutely been unbelievable today. Again, played, what, 60 minutes, went off injured. got a goal and got an assist. He was horrible against us, just so quick. But once that first goal's in, the second goal goes in, it's game over. And I think with what Michael said, you know, Dyche is having to try and find different tactics. He's going to have to. I think McNeil's a massive loss for us at the moment. Massive loss. I think he's a creator. He scores goals. And what else was I going to say then? I think I'm saying no. We've got Calvert-Lewin. You know, how many times in the second half Calvert-Lewin went off, but we're still pumping balls down the line or pumping balls down centrally. It's like, what are you going to accomplish for that? We just kept giving the ball away. It just, you know, if Calvert-Lewin goes off, you can't start looking for long balls into Mopé. It's like, might just give up. You know, Calvert-Lewin's not on the pitch. And that's my worry. If Calvert-Lewin doesn't play next game, is who plays up top? Like, you're hoping that if Che Adams comes in, that he goes straight in, not one of them ones where it's, oh, he's not fit enough or he's not up to the level. You know, we go straight in. Because otherwise, we get beat to Wolves. It's like, it's you know, you just know it's going to be the longest season ever. It's going to be another third season of trying to get to 40 points or 36 points again.
Well, this is the problem, isn't it? You know, we mentioned the potential impact of losing the first two games of the season, and obviously it's happened, and it's what that does to the mentality of the players, obviously of us as fans. But just by going back to the game, and we'll talk about potentially a new signing this week, and also Wolves shortly. But again, when you say the second goal went in, penalty kick given against Jordan Pickford. Obviously, there was a lot of conversation from Monday night, from when Onana, the Manchester United goalkeeper, clattered into the Wolves player. It was a blatant penalty, wasn't given. And obviously today, Everton on the end of one of those. To be fair, at first I saw it and thought, what have you given? Looking at it back, I can't really argue. And to be fair to Pickford again, what's he meant to do? As a goalkeeper, if he just stood there and didn't try and spread himself, then obviously they probably score a goal. So difficult thing. But when you get the second goal, like you say, it's almost then, if the first goal, it wasn't game over, because we know historically in recent years as Everton fans, we go a goal behind, Everton don't really come back. But 2-0 down, now after half time as well, you just think there's just no chance. Dominic Calvert-Lewin goes off, of course, potentially fractured his cheekbone, which is another spell on the sideline, which is horrendous luck for him. I think there was a little bit of crowd reaction to that, a bit of sarcasm in terms of the response from Calvert-Lewin as well. Not a particularly nice situation to be in. We see obviously Dan Juma come on, and we mentioned there that he had a decent impact, I thought, overall. From he was central, he went left when Mopé came on. But we look at the two goals, Pete, and you know, in terms of amateur defending and from a mentality perspective, how disappointing are both of those goals? You know, we go back to the one where Villa have got a throw in on our right there, left. Everton have totally switched off altogether. They've thrown a ball into the box. Is it Michael Keane? I'm not quite sure what he was trying to do. Just hoof the ball away. Just kick the ball away. Don't know what he was trying to do. They're in. They score 3-0. Definitely game over. And obviously the four bomb was even more comical in terms of our own throwing. Undercut by Ashley Young, got to be said. Michael Keane doesn't really get there. They go through. Fell down on the pitch for about 20 seconds. Never scored a goal in his life by all accounts, and then scores against Everton.
That was the case of commentator, wasn't it? This guy coming on now, who's not scored a Premier League goal in 25 years, comes on.
You know what's going to happen next, don't you? You know, I think it was 50 seconds he was on for, this kid.
He had two touches, I think. Two touches.
Yeah. It was just incredible. But Pete, they're the kind of things, aren't they, that when you look back on a performance, and obviously it was a game where it finished by 4-0. But out of those four goals, for me, you could argue three were totally avoidable. And not even, you know, it was a 50-50, could have gone either way. Three of those goals shouldn't have happened. And those last two definitely shouldn't have happened, should they?
No, absolutely. I mean, we were talking just before we were recording about some of the stats that were logged for the game. And I think it was logged by Opta that Villa had two clear chances. So they had two clear chances and have ended up with four goals. And I completely agree with you. Three of them at least we gave to them. But you know, people talk about backbone, and at 2-0 down, we've then given them a further two goals. You know, handed them a further two goals just by being piss poor. And it's as simple as that. And I think that's what infuriates you when you watch some of the mistakes, because it's about, you know, disorganization, lapses of concentration. I understand why fans get wound up and they look at certain players and talk about a lack of quality, and look, that might come into it. But I think particularly those last two goals, it's not even quality. It's just about being switched on and focused and competitive and doing your job. And I know we're very early on in the season, and it's, you know, it's important not to catastrophize or be too over the top about it. But I think as Evertonians, we know the script too well. And I think we know our own team too well. And I think it's, you know, you need to stop the rot now. And we found ourselves in the position of going into two games against Wolves and Sheffield United with no points. You know, and even having a point on the board, I think psychologically just puts you in a bit of a different position. You know, we've loaded those two games now with an amount of pressure that we just don't need this early on in the season. And at a point in the season where, you know, now we might find ourselves with potentially four key injuries to you know, players that would arguably be in our starting 11. So, yeah, I completely agree with you. I think the goals were inexcusable, and again, I'm not blaming the manager, but I think you expect better from a Sean Dyche side. You know, when there's so much about his philosophy that's built on being tough to beat and being organised and doing your job and having a defensive philosophy and being difficult to score against. We had none of that today.
This is the surprising thing from my perspective, is that's what I thought I'd be seeing, especially away from home. Is, you know, I know Sean Dyche comes with a reputation and a style of play, and I think, you know, he's done a disservice at times. You know, people just think he sets his sides up to be difficult to beat, but there's more to him than that, and there is. But I think what we saw with Sean Dyche for the time he was with us last season, especially away from home, because our form picked up, never mind the Brighton win. We got draws away at Chelsea, draws away at Leicester. I think we were unbeaten in our last four away games, which are a side that never picks up any kind of points away from home. Not too bad at all. That's why I thought today we'd see similar in terms of us being really difficult to beat. We'd be difficult to break down. We'd keep our shape. It'll be a disciplined performance. You know, we're not going to create all sorts of chances, but you go there to try and get a point. It's for me, it's that easy. And then he spoke, I think it was on Thursday, on Friday, in his press conference, and he sort of said, oh, yeah, we can go there. We want to take the game to them. We want to go there and sort of almost, in a way, not be ultra defensive. And for me, it's backfired because of the kind of player that they've got on their side. You know, Diaby's rapid. Bailey's rapid. Watkins is certainly no mug, and he's quick himself. So those three alone can cause you a lot of problems. And we just didn't set up, for me, in the right way. And, you know, you can't, as a manager, you can't legislate for defensive lapses in concentration and defensive mistakes. But do you think it's on the manager, Callum, a little bit this today in terms of what we saw? Because, you know, we talk about personnel and who shouldn't be playing. You know, we haven't replaced, you know, two centre halves. You've gone out. I know Jarrod Brandsbate has come back in, but we knew the centre half position is a key area for me, and we have to do something in the market and have to do something in the market. You know, with a week or so left to go, do you think it's on the manager a little bit in terms of how he set up and the personnel that he's continuing to use?
Yeah, you can always look at that. I think though, you know, the level that their manager in the experience that he's got, you know, he sees things on the training field, and he'll have people who he thinks he can trust. And obviously we won't always agree with that. But we don't see what goes on in training. You know, Brandface couldn't be good enough in training. Godfrey, I don't know what's happened to him. For me, on paper, he should be walking back into that side. I don't think Patterson's playing very well neither. So from the outset, you could say, you know, you'd have Brandwaite starting, you potentially have Godfrey starting. So yeah, but I don't know, he's going with players he thinks he can trust, but obviously on today's performance, it was shocking. And in terms of them, I think what we struggled with today was their players, the likes of Bailey, Watkins, them players up front, just finding the spaces in between the lines. And I think once that them passes were going in between our midfield four and their three or four, we're just attacking our back four. That's where we're most vulnerable, because we've got no speed and we can't run. And when you've got a front three like they had today, it just makes it very, very hard to defend against. And, you know, on paper, you maybe think, you know, should a back five maybe worked a bit better, maybe. Maybe a 5-3-2 or something, I don't know. But he's got a system. He thinks it works. And, you know, he got us out of the trouble last season. But when you're playing against a team who's got so much pace, it's very difficult to go away for a moment and get points. And, you know, that proved the point again today.
We discussed the Branthwaite situation before the season started and said, you know, what is worse for him? Is it worse for him to start the season off against Fulham in a partnership with James Tarkowski? Or is it worse for him? Unfortunately, we felt inevitably when Michael Keane starts to have a couple of poor games, that's a poor game, because we know historically he struggles mentally. He really does, and he's very much a confidence player. And when he has a game or a couple of games strung together where he doesn't play particularly well, his head goes, and that's why he was pulled out late on last season, and probably pulled out a little bit too late, for many fans liking. But you think then, why not just say to Branthwaite, you know, you've gone away to PSV, you've had a real solid season over there. He's matured as a footballer. He's gone away and won a trophy. Why not just say to him from game one, you're in, you're the partnership, because, as you said, I hate calling players out, but it's historically we know that Michael Keane relies heavily on confidence, and we know that he's got a mistake in him. We know in recent years it's probably been worse than it has. I think since he signed, he's had one decent season, I think, when he picked up an award at the end of the season awards. But he really struggles, and I feel sorry for him. I really do, because inevitably what happens is people then pile in on him and start to give him loads and loads of shit. And it's difficult, especially at a time when we're struggling on the pitch and people are looking for someone to call out and be that player, you know, to give the shit to. I think Branthwaite, for me, given what we've got currently, you mentioned obviously Ben Godfrey, who's now probably seen as the fourth centre half in that side. The man just got to be brave and look to make a change, but probably more importantly and more drastically, dip into the transfer markets and get someone else in as well. Because if we go through this season with these four centre halves, we're always going to concede silly goals for me. What's your thoughts on that, Callum?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I don't know the piece will agree with this, but I don't know why, you know, the centre backs out there to get, you know, there is. But the whole Cody thing was a strange one as well, because, like, surely Cody would have been at least a decent backup for him to sign. Obviously, he's not. But, you know, we need to get someone in. We do. And I think now as a team, and we have done for years now, we've lacked real leadership and, like Peter said before, backbone. You know, there's just no resilience in that team at all. There's no one you think, you know what, this player's going to pull us through here. He's going to start, you know, firing everyone up and saying, come on, let's go again. And, you know, there just doesn't seem to be any of that. Onana, for me, I don't know. I don't know what he brings to the table, to be honest. I'm not going to lie. Our midfield, I think, is weak. I think that setup of Garner on the right, Iwobi on the left, I think it's an absolute waste of time. Iwobi's not a winger. Garner's not a right midfielder. There's, like you said before, there's probably a better system which suits the players that we've got to play than playing what we played today with that 4-4-2. And for me, it is Dyche saying that it wouldn't have been better going Branthwaite left back and putting Ashley Young left wing. Would that have not been a better option or been a bit more balanced on that side? Don't know. But yeah, the transfer window is massive, and I'm going to be really disappointed if we just get one forward player in, because it's going to be a long season. It really is. We need a proper leader to come in. Jane Tarkowski, I think, for me, I think he plays okay some games, but for me, sometimes I'm not convinced. For next, how experienced he is, I can count so many times last season as well, where he gets caught as a centre-back on the wrong side, on the wrong shoulder of the centre-forward, where he comes across too much and the ball gets played inside him. I think it's Southampton last season, and he's meant to be an experienced centre-back. So, yeah, it's just we need someone in. We need someone, but I think we need two or three players, four players, but the days are counting down now, and who are we going to get? Damari Gray, I think that's going to go through. He's going to leave. We need three or four to come in, and you know, Dyche will have his players he wants to get in, but it's whether we can get them. Obviously, as well, we've signed Harrison, haven't we?
Harrison. Yeah, so Harrison came in, didn't he, this week?
So I think he'll be decent for us. I think he's a decent player. So I'm looking forward for him to come in, and I think he'll do well for us.
I think it's important, obviously, to reflect on, as much as we, like I said earlier on, we do catastrophize because of what's gone on the last two seasons, and we're only two games in, but we're seeing obviously bad habits. We're seeing a poor performance today after a semi-decent one against Fulham. But what we have to look at is, okay, well, we've got a number of days left in the transfer window. We are linked to a number of players quite strongly as we speak today, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But then we've obviously got the likes of Dwight McNeil's a massive miss. He's a massive, massive miss. So he's got to come back in. You've got Jack Harrison, you know, came in after a little wobble, wasn't it, at the start of the week. He's through the door, but obviously currently injured. So we're not going to see him until probably after the international break as well. We've got Seamus Coleman to come back in, of course. Calvert-Lewin now could be out for a good probably 4 to 6 weeks. We're speculating. We have to wait for obviously the assessments on his injury. And obviously then we've got these other players who potentially are going to leave. Damari Gray, probably the most likely. The likes of Andre Gomez, Gabamon, although he hasn't come back to the club, but obviously I'm sure the club are looking to get him moved out. Mason Holgate has been linked to a number of clubs as well. So we've got a lot of things to go on, I think, in the final. We're already sort of 7 to 10.
Tom Davis as well. Tom Davis has gone, hasn't he? Tom Davis.
Well, Davis obviously left on a free because he was out of contract, but he's obviously signed for Sheffield United. So cue a Tom Davis goal when we played.
Yeah, get your money on that.
Yeah. So don't be surprised if that happens. So there's still a lot of things that we need to remember in terms of when we reflect on a game and when we react to a game, that you know there is still a lot of moving parts that are currently going on. And things that will change before the transfer window closes. But it's massively, massively important that we get it right. But we're going to leave the Villa game there because, to be honest with you, look, I don't want to talk any more about it. It was about 100 minutes of my life that I'm not going to get back. and it wasn't a nice way to spend a Sunday afternoon. But we're going to call a quick break there. And we're going to talk about a potential incoming this week as it seems to be moving quite quickly before we look ahead to the six-pointer in the third game of the season at home to Wolves after this short break. Second part of today's Unholy Trinity podcast. And like I said before the break, we are active and busy in the transfer market, and the striker who seems to have been selected seems to be Che Adams from Southampton, linked heavily last season. As we were saying before we recorded, it was between him and Neil Mopé, and Neil Mopé got the nod. And now we're going to bring in Che Adams as well. So he looks like he's on the verge after Everton submitted a higher offer today at some point. It looks like that's going to be agreed. So by the time we actually face Wolves next weekend, you would expect him to be in the squad, maybe even starting, depending on what happens, obviously, with Dominic Calvert-Lewin. But Pete, what's your thoughts? What's your thoughts on him? Obviously, he's... Some might say, I know Lee's already said this, I know he's not here, not with us at the moment. He's in the theatre. I've mentioned that one at the start of the show. He's gone to the theatre over doing the podcast. Bit of a strange decision, but I'll say no more than that. But Che Adams, Lee seems to think it's quite an underwhelming signing. Somebody who has been linked heavily for the last 12 months. What's your take on that move? Are you happy with that? Do you understand why the club have gone down that road of trying to get him in?
Well, I do understand why the club have gone down that road of trying to get him in, because I think it's evident he's probably not been in our top two or three on the shortlist. And I think we are where we are. I think Che Adams is is now the pool that we're fishing in. And that, you know, that's, it's not to devalue Che Adams, but I think what he is industrious and hardworking. I think what he's not is an out and out goal scorer. So, you know, if we do sign Che Adams and he does provide cover or competition for Calvert-Lewin, or, you know, if Calvert-Lewin's injury record, fitness record continues the way it has been over the past season, if Che Adams is actually playing the majority of games in a centre forward role, I don't think he's going to be bringing in 15 goals. I think he'll be a player that allows us to get up the pitch and allows Everton to kind of play the way that maybe Sean Dyche likes us to play, counter-attacking. It gives us an option to get out quickly. But I can understand why people are maybe a bit underwhelmed by it, because arguably it doesn't fit with that sort of vision of, you know, developing players. He's not going to be a player that we make a profit on. It's kind of going back to that idea of recruiting players, thinking about the now and trying to stay up. And it's been a philosophy that hasn't served us particularly well. So I do think it's a slight gamble in some ways, really. But also, what's the alternative?
Well, we discussed a few alternatives ourselves over the last few weeks, of course. I mean, how doable those deals are and where, who knows? I think it's quite clear that the club want to bring in somebody with Premier League experience. They want to bring in somebody who can hit the ground running. Given the fact, obviously, given Dominic Calvert-Lewin's recent injury history, they probably know that they were going to be called upon sooner rather than later. And it gives, obviously, like Youssef Chiriti time, Sean Dyche alluded to the other day in his press conference, gives him time to obviously bed in, understand what English football is all about, and obviously look to develop as well before we look to bring him into a match day squad. Because he was there today, by the way, he did travel, but wasn't named on the bench. So I think that's the angle the club are going for. Whether it proves to be the right angle remains to be seen, of course. But Callum, what do you think that Che Adams will bring to this Everton side? Do you think that he's the right kind of player to be brought in?
It's one of them, isn't it? It's our hands are tied as well. You know, we haven't got 30, 40 million to buy a centre forward, and even if we did, they probably wouldn't come to us anyway. You know, price tag's looking at 12 million. So that's something we can probably pay that back to them over 10 years probably. But no, I think he's got pace, hasn't he? He's got power. He can run in behind. He seems like he's a grafter. When he plays, he seems a bit of a handful. He does put himself around. A bit like Barnes, really, for Burnley. A bit like him and the way he played next to Wood. So, you know, if we're going to be playing, you know, that system of that sort of that 4-4-2 out of possession with the Decore next to Adams, or how it was today, you know, that might work well. I think he would benefit from someone next to him. He's not going to be win loads of headers and that kind of thing, but he's going to be better than what we've got. I think Mopay, I think his days are done at Everton. I just don't think he's nowhere near the level of what we need. Again, to prove the point again today, he was just awful. First touch was terrible. Can't control the ball, can't run, no speed. But that's been the emphasis, you know, that's been Everton for the last however many years since the Koeman era, just getting players that can't run and can't get around the pitch. You know, you look at Villa today, saying like he bought well, he just got speed all over the pitch. There's even a chance today where I think Dan Juma broke away and we just had no one up the pitch at the time. So I think with Adams, he'll be direct. We can get it in behind to him and he'll give us a different option. So for £12 million, yeah, he's 27. There's no resale value at all. But, you know, it's not like we're gambling on, you know, someone for 30 million, 35. He's probably going to be another forgotten player. We're not going to get no money back on. So we've just got to bite the bullet and see how he does and get behind if he does sign.
think you're right. I mean, he does bring that pace and power, doesn't he? I played pay close attention to him at the weekend. Obviously, they played Plymouth, which was live, and I think there was probably a massive peak.
He scored the weekend.
He scored basically one last kicks of the game and stopped it signed, didn't he, to win the game for Southampton. And he didn't have a particularly good game. Now, whether, I mean, who knows, but whether he played within himself because of the fact he knew, I don't want to get injured here, I'm off to Everton, so I'll just sort of play that 90%. Who knows that? But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a good habit to be in. Not playing well, but grabbing a goal, which he did, which was the winner. And that's 3-3 for him in the Championship so far this season. So for me, you know, you want to bring someone in who's got confidence, because Neil Mopay, we said this ourselves last week, he lacks confidence given the fact he's not scored since last October, not in great form of course, had a good time at the club, and we saw again today when he came on, he had that one chance which obviously Martinez saved, but then his first touch was off, and his head just not in it. And I think he needs to move on for his own sake, to be fair, so he can go and sort of press the reset button and look to start again, and hopefully, you know, kick on with his career. But I think with Che Adams, yeah, you know, he's going to bring that pace and that power. He's not as big as I thought he was, though. He's not as tall as I thought he was. I think he's about 1.8 metres. He's not particularly massive, but he's a strong lad. He's a bit of a unit, isn't he? So I think we'll see someone who can hold the ball up, who can bring players in, who can, you know, look to play on the shoulder of a centre-half and look to then running behind as well, you know. And with, you know, we saw Dan Juma today, didn't we? I was quite impressed by his performance in terms of what he brought, especially when he played wide. And yeah, and he played, that his favourite position is obviously that wide left position, and he looks to cut inside on his right foot. Did it a few times. I'm looking not to get a goal actually in the first half himself when he was playing more centrally, but he tried to make things happen. Mopay had a chance, and I thought Dobbin as well when he came on. I thought he looked quite lively as well. So it gives you a little bit of hope, you know, with Dan Juma, Dobbin maybe in the shorter term before the window closes, McNeil to come back in, Che Adams. And Pete just said he was 5'9", Pete, which is not particularly tall, is it, for a centre forward? You know, quite surprised by that. I get that checked, though. I get that fact checked. Make sure that's right. He looks bigger than that, but the Corey looks like he's about 6'5", but he's not even 6 foot. The Corey, there's a bit of a fact for you. But yeah, it's going to be. You'd assume that given the reporter came out immediately after the game today, no surprise there, to try and pick up Everton fans probably as best he could, that the deal is very, very close. So you would think that in the first couple of days of the week that we would see Che Adams actually sign on the dotted line.
Probably the thing with that, though, again, though, you can see that happening, can't you? Like, when's he got to sign by to be able to play Saturday?
So he's got to have signed, isn't it, the final working day before the weekend game by midday. So I think it must be Friday midday he's got to sign by. So you'd assume by that time he'd be in through the door. And, you know, even if you went to Wednesday or Thursday, we should be okay there. No, whatever, like with deals. But I can't see personal terms being an issue. Obviously, he played at the weekend, so you'd assume that he'll be okay to be in the squad straight away. You know, Sean Dyche is quite funny, isn't he, about players just being lashed into the squad. But, you know, he's played in all three of the Southampton's games so far this season, some way, shape or form. So he should be fine to be in there, assuming that we get the deal done, of course. But before we look ahead to Wolves, I just want to mention yet again this ongoing saga of Willy Nonto. It just doesn't seem to want to go away, does it? Because it's a player that we've been linked with heavily for weeks and weeks and weeks. The player's recently thrown in a transfer request as well. Leeds' stance is very, very clear, still saying he's not for sale in any way, shape or form. There was talk again today that a new bid has gone in, potentially high 20 odd million with another so many million on top in terms of extras. Who knows what to believe? Callum, what's your take on that potential deal? Do you think Everton have got to have a point, haven't they, where they stop and they say, right, we're not paying any more than about this particular figure, because it's getting to the point now. I know he's 19 years of age, I think he is.
Yeah.
Obviously, the 1 year in the Premier League, an Italian international. Do you think Everton should turn the focus elsewhere as opposed to spending so much on Willian Onso?
No, he's one of them players, isn't he? I think he's gonna have a high resale value in one thing, but at the same time, he plays wide left, doesn't he? That's where Dan Juma plays.
Then you've he got can play either side. I think he can play off the right as well. He's quite comfortable either side.
Yeah, I think most of us get games for Leeds without wide left, but no, I like him. I think we'd do well to get him. I can't believe we even linked with him. I think he's a top player, technically very good. Very small, but again, strong work ethic on and off the ball. And, you know, he would fit into that work ethic sort of thing that Sean Dyche wants. He's exciting, isn't he, on the ball? I think if, you know, that last bid sort of thing gets rejected, then I don't think we're going to go back. And that's going to be like the third bid, will it be now? Third or fourth bid for him?
Yeah.
I think, you know, he's a young, promising player, and, you know, if we do turn our attention to someone else, it might be that it's, you know, an older player just to get us over the line this season. I think you struggle to sort of find another up and coming player, really. So I don't know how that'll work, or does he then turn his focus and get a centre back? Don't know.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the links to Nanso have been really strong, and it's quite clear Everton want this player. It seems to be quite clear the player wants to come. Whether that's just because he wants to get back in the Premier League, or he's got any kind of affection towards Everton, I'm assuming just wants to play in the Premier League, because even our affection towards Everton is wearing quite thin, I would say. But I just think that, you know, there will come a cutoff, because there's got to be. You know, we can't afford to let this drag on and keep on
miss out on
him and potentially other players if we can't get him. So we've got to sort of say a particular day, right, this is where we stop now, because there's other players. We have been linked with another couple of wide players, and there's no surprise really, given the fact that this is dragged on. But I think a lot's dependent, you know, this Demarai Gray deal to Fulham, you know, was slowed, you know, potentially going to Palace as well. That way he was also linked there. He was also into going to Saudi Arabia, of course. There was quite a strong link there. But that seems to have slowed things down. He's not been seen. I think he's been back to Finch Farm, but he's not been seen any kind of training footage or anything like that. So he's not under consideration for us. So that deal's got to be done quickly as well to enable us to then go and potentially look at a centre-half and get the Nanso deal done as well. But it's got to happen quickly, as we know. You know, the deadline is now fast approaching, and Everton have got to come out of this window in a better position than we started it. And currently, you know, where we are with who we brought in, injuries, we're not in a great state, to be honest with you. We're in a worse state than where we were at the start of the window, and we've got to be better. And that centre half position is a real massive one that fit for me, and we've got to really address that. But you know, hopefully Adams gets done pretty sharpest. Let's get him in the squad for the Wolves game. Nanso, who knows how long that's going to go on for, but we've got to, as I say, there's got to be a point where we just pull the plug and say, right, let's move on. Let's move on to somebody else. But going on to Wolves, Pete, we mentioned last week, if we could be going to the Wolves game with no points, we are. Of course, so Wolves, they've been on the end of a bit of a hiding themselves at the weekend against a quality Brighton side, but at home, 4-1. After what I thought was a real decent showing by Wolves at Old Trafford, I thought they had a real good go. They had some great chances. Now, you know, it's a funny thing to say that, you know, the third game of the season, that, you know, the pressure starts to build. But are you feeling that pressure now going into that game, given the fact that we haven't won, we haven't scored. Wolves in the same position in terms of their points total. Are you now feeling a little bit of pressure as we look ahead to Saturday?
Will be when I'm in the stadium. And I think everybody else will as well. James Tarkowski said after the Villa game that the positives for him of getting beat 4-0 were that Villa got battered 5-1 last week, turned up and won 4-0 today. So there's no reason why we can't go and do that next week. Now, what I'd say to him is I'd love to believe you. I'd absolutely love to believe you. And the players have got to go out first and foremost and respond, haven't they? we have to put in a performance. We can't do that thing that we sometimes do where we start really nervous and we play within ourselves, because if you're Wolves, I say it every time for these kind of games on the podcast, if you're the away team, you know exactly what they're going to be saying in the dresser. Go there, silence the crowd. The crowd will get nervy. All we've got to do is hit them on the break or get a corner. We get the first goal and we're golden. That would be your philosophy playing against, if you're Wolves playing against Everton. And I just think we've got to steamroll them, and hopefully it would be great if we managed to sign Che Adams and get him over the line and have him available. But I think as well, Dyche needs to consider making some changes. And I think that the change that maybe all the fans are calling for is to have someone else partnering James Tarkowski at centre-half. But for me, I think Dan Juma and Lewis Dobbin have done enough to suggest at least one, but I'd say hopefully both of them could be in the starting lineup, because it goes back to what you and Callum were saying earlier, that we didn't have any balance in our approach to Aston Villa. And I think that's reflected in the lack of chances we created. And, we were looking at some kind of extreme luck or individual brilliance to get something from that game. And I just think if we can have Dobbin left and Juma right, we'll have a lot more attacking balance and a lot more endeavour, and it will allow us to get up the pitch regardless of who's centre forward. If it is Mope who starts in that position, I just don't think it works having, like Callum said, James Garner on that right hand side. I think we're not able to play in the way that we need to. But I think if we can perform the way we did against Fulham with that kind of energy and that kind of attacking focus, hopefully we should be able to do enough to win the game. But yeah, I'm not looking forward to it at all. And it's, the script writes itself. We're all worried that the Wolves game and the Sheffield United game might end up feeling this way and being approached in this way. But I think our job is to go into those games and try and change the script.
I agree. I mean, there could be a raft of changes, really. I mean, the manager did mention after the game, he did give credit to both Dan Juma and Lewis Dobbin, who, we said they tried to make things happen, and they both did. They both went after fullbacks. They were trying to, obviously, in an attacking sense, try and get Everton back into the game. And, would it surprise me to see quite a few changes? Not really, no. We could, quite feasibly, you could see James Garner come into the centre of midfield. Just a guy again could drop out. I thought he wasn't great today, to be honest. Obviously, he was taken off.
I thought he was quality against Fulham, though.
He was. But I think
the yellow card today, that's probably why he's gone off. But for me, I think he gets a lot of criticism. But even in that Fulham game, he was the only one who was dropping in to get on the ball. He was the only one who was tackling with intensity and running. I wouldn't leave him out of the team against Wolves.
I agree. I do think he's a player that is definitely undervalued, and his stats back up, I think, how important he is to us. But I do think at times I think it showed in terms of stats in last season as well, mistakes that he makes that leads to goals. And sometimes he will have these games where he's just nowhere near it. So I just wouldn't be surprised after his first start today, where, like you say, he got booked. He didn't play particularly well, but who did? It could be an option for the manager to say to James Garner, right, you playing wide right isn't working, and it's not. And, no offence to him, but I could quite feasibly see him drop into centre midfield. If we're saying about Dobbin and Dan Juma, they could be your two wide players. You could then see Che Adams come straight in and play up top. So you could have a brand new sort of front three there straight away. And, we look at then, could then Brantway come in at left centre half? Of course he could. He could then drop in there. There's a few things that mine just got to really look at there, to be honest with you, and look to. It sounds a bit strange to say freshen things up this early in the season, but when you've lost your first two games, albeit one you should have won, but we didn't score, which, you ain't going to win a game of football if you don't score. And the second one, we were, to put it the way that James Tarkowski said today after the game, we capitulated after the first goal. So again, mentality's got to be questioned. So it does no harm to bring players in, assuming that they can come in and they can do a job. They can't do any worse than what we've seen today, that's for sure. Maybe some of those players need a bit of a shock tactic, and they are taken out of the equation, and new players brought in. But you do feel the pressure. Of course, you know, we started another season with two consecutive defeats. So you do fear that Everton yet again are going to find themselves in a similar position where we get sucked into fighting for our Premier League status. If we don't do something, if we don't get points on the board now, we've got Wolves at home, then Sheffield United away. So two games against sides who you could say are going to be in and around us as well. So you've got to look to pick up points in these kind of games. But for Wolves, you know, Nunes, he got sent off against Brighton, so he'll be missing the Everton game. Two yellow cards. Quite sure that they can't appeal. That's a key player for them, a quality player who was on the brink of signing for Everton, by the way, a couple of years ago. So he's going to be missing. They've had to sell quite a few of their key players.
At least Traore will be playing against us.
Well, no, and obviously he signed for Fulham just after the full-time whistle, didn't he, last weekend as well, so we didn't get to see him play for them against us at Goodison. So, you know, they've lost a few players, haven't they? Obviously, the likes of Neves has gone, of course. He was a key player for them. Jimenez.
Collins has gone as well, hasn't he? Collins
has gone to Brentford. So a lot of players, yeah, a lot of players have gone who were good quality.
I like for them, though. Is he still there? Wang?
Yeah, he scored. He scored their goal at the weekend. Yeah, good player. We were linked with him, weren't we? I think in January. So they've still got, don't get me wrong, there's still some quality players there. Neto's another one who I think against Man United last week had a decent game as well. A quality footballer. He's had a bad injury. He's now come back in. So they've still got some quality there. But there's a bit of a bad feeling around that club. The manager's left just on the eve of the new Premier League season. Gary O'Neill's come in. Lost the first home game, as I say, quite substantially to Brighton. We've all been there. But this pressure, it will be felt, I think, in and around the ground on Saturday. It'll be felt by the players, I'm sure. The manager will be eager to get points on the board. And, you know, 3 points makes all the difference, doesn't it? If you can win that game and pull yourselves away, even in this early stage, and just get the ball rolling, you feel a little bit better, don't you?
Yeah, I think what Peter said before, it's for me, it's the most important thing in football. Is energy. Energy and intensity wins games. It's as simple as that. And every game that we go into, we have to have a team set up best that we can that has got energy, that players that can run. Now, we haven't got many players that can do that. We've got the likes of Garner, Awobi, he might be injured now. We've got to take the game to Wolves from the very off, because the first goal in that game is massive. It's absolutely huge. If they score the first goal, the whole stadium goes silent. The players get nervous. And then you know what happens then? We start creating chances. We'll miss chance after chance after chance. They'll get a breakaway, score 2-0, game over. So the first goal is massive, because if we can score in the first 5 or 10 minutes, it puts them on the back foot. We make the place as large as we can. And then the second goal is even more bigger, because whoever gets the second goal, game's over, it's done. No one's coming back. But again, it's that intensity, that work rate, that belief that they can win these games. And there was past that against Fulham. We just didn't score. Because our defending's so bad, we obviously conceded and we lost the game again. Just a stupid goal. And we actually gave it away. We were in possession of the ball. Someone kicked it out and they got a throw in and they scored from it. But you know, Gary O'Neill, you know, brought Bournemouth to us last game of the season, and he had them absolutely firing. They were going for it every corner, every tackle. He had players flying in, and it's not going to be an easy game for us. It's really not, because I rate him as a manager. I think he'll do well this season for them. But we need a win, and I think if, you know, I know it's early days now, but if we don't beat Wolves and then get nothing against Sheffield United, I think Dice is in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I want to avoid that kind of conversation so early on. Of course, there's already been the odd.
I'm totally against all that. But you know, if you lose four games on the spin and two of them are to rivals with you should be staying above them, who, you know, you're taking their place going down potentially, you know, what you do. But again, it's a catastrophic, you know, it's a snowball, isn't it? It's just literally, we sack a man to get a new one in, sack a man to get a new one in, and we can't keep doing that. But Dice is under a bit of pressure on these next two games for me. We've got to come round. We need to score goals to win games.
Yeah, for me, you know, personally speaking, we've got to come out of these two games with at least 4 points. That's my personal opinion, if not more. We've got to get points from both. It's vital. You know, the worst case scenario would be 2 points, but you want to get your first win of the season, and there's no better time than to rectify the absolute garbage that we've seen at Villa Park by in your next game, especially at home. Get a win against somebody that we feel maybe in the round where we are and fighting for those places that we're going to be fighting for at the end of the season. You know, they're not going to come and roll over. You know, as I say, a good showing against Manchester United. They had chances. They certainly had a little bit of a go against a good Brighton side. We know how ruthless Brighton can be. We've been on the end of a couple of hardens from them in recent seasons. We know how good they can be. Yeah, there's no shame in losing to them, and you know you can lose heavily, but vitally important to Everton get something from this game, and a win would obviously, you know, just to get the ball rolling, go into the final few days of the transfer window as well with a little bit of positivity. Listen, you know, first win on the board, the fans feel better. You know, little things like that can almost change a player's mind. You know,
I just think, just quickly on that, I just think with, you know, winning games, you know, if we did lose, that's two home games we've lost. And I think this season, if we're going to stay up, we're going to be heavily reliant again on our home form. You know, because going away from home, what team are you going to pick up points against? You know, your Liverpool, Newcastle, City, even Spurs, yes, they played well against United. Chelsea under Pochettino, there's very few there. We're looking at away games and go, we're gonna get punch from that. Home games for this season are absolutely massive, that we need to get as many points as we can on the board and then get a few cheeky draws, and maybe a couple of wins on the road. But we can't be losing games. Obviously lost against Fulham, we can't lose against Wolves this weekend. Home games are vital for it, I think.
Yeah, totally agree. Our home form is always key, and you know, we can't be reliant on going away from home and winning countless games. It just doesn't happen with Everton, especially this Everton side. But fingers crossed, I think fingers crossed for a positive outcome. But we're going to do predictions. Win, lose or draw, simple as that. Pete, what are you saying?
Am I not allowed to give a score prediction?
Go on.
You're getting very controlling with these predictions, mate.
I'm trying to change the universe, Pete, I've told you. I'm trying to make sure that Everton win a game of football.
Well, I'm saying 1-0 Dan Juma. It's going to happen.
Own goal, Wolves win, or in our own net?
Everton win, of course.
Of course. Callum?
I'm going to go 2-1. Che Adams and Dan Juma.
Assuming he signs. Put the little asterisk by that. Might at the last minute. But if it's not Che Adams, Neil Mope to replace.
Oh, yeah.
I'll go for a hat-trick of wins. I'm going to be a bit more positive than you, so I'm going to say 2-0 Everton. I think it'd be a nice comfortable 2-0 win. Goals from James Tarkowski. I'm going to say Dan Juma as well. I think he looked very lively today. He's an eager player, and he always wants, when he gets the ball, he wants to make something happen all the time. Sometimes he's too eager, but he wants to influence the game positively.
He was eager in that Fulham game. He went through 1-1, wasn't he? A bit too eager there as well.
He was onside as well. Looking back, at the time, we all thought he was offside. But looking back at it, he was onside. He was a little bit keen there, wasn't he? To get his shot away, and if he took a little bit more time. But I do think he'll come good. I thought he looked a lot better on the left in the second half, where he prefers to be. Where he can cut inside on his right foot, but. Hopefully, I think he will get the nod next weekend. Given obviously, Dom's just put out an Instagram story there with his black eye. Doesn't look particularly good. Like, it looks like he's done 12 rounds with Lennox Lewis in his piece. Yeah. So it doesn't look great. So fingers crossed he comes through okay, Dom. It's not a, not a serious one, but I don't think it'll be, it'll certainly be too soon next weekend. But let's hope for a positive week this week. Che Adams seems to be on the brink of signing. Will the Willy Nonto saga come to an end? Who knows? Will we actually let some more players leave as well? Who knows? But we need a good week. We need to finish the week next weekend with a win, of course. But Callum, thanks for coming on. You know, given the circumstances, given such a poor performance, we do appreciate hearing from anybody who wants to discuss that level of performance.
No, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on. Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
And that is us for this week. We'll be back ourselves, obviously, usual slot next weekend to look back on that Wolves game, look ahead to the trip to Sheffield United. So we will catch you then.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three Blues. Three Opinions. One Everton Podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.